Here she is in studio. It's Shaletta. Let's see. Is she down the hall? Is she arriving?
Nope.
Oh, rather interesting. I was told that last week when the very talented and kind man Chris Eggert filled in, you were right here. You were
Who is the snitch? Did Susie Jones tell you that? Who was snitching that day?
All sorts of people. All sorts of people. So today, I'm back. You know, our partnership.
Hey, welcome.
Yeah, Josh is here. We're all waiting. A lot of times, speaking of treats, you'll bring a treat. Sometimes it's edible. Sometimes it's that that awful sausage you brought in that one time. Oh, my God.
I cannot believe you don't like me, Dan. Everybody in the station enjoyed eating that, except you.
One of us has taste, apparently. Jeez. Are you home right now? Are you at the mansion?
I am at the mansion in Cottage Grove. We've got the big Cottage Grove Food Truck Festival happening tomorrow. So I went over to Kingston Park to just kind of check out the lay of the land and see what trucks are going to be there. So I was doing a little bit of surveillance.
Yeah.
Because this is like a big event for us in Cottage Grove.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what will your role be tomorrow with the Cottage Grove Food Truck Extravaganza?
I am just a hungry resident. Mm-hmm. I don't have any role except to go and spend up a bunch of money and eat as much as I can. So I don't know about you, but when I know that I'm going to go over my calorie limit, I don't eat the day before. So I'll be hungry all day today. I don't know how I'm going to get through the Shaletta show tomorrow because I'll be hungry for the majority of my show. And then as soon as my show is over, I'm running out the door over to Kingston Park across the street, and I'm eating everything in sight.
Okay. So you're proposing that your last meal was last night for dinner, and mm-hmm. that you're not going to eat this entire day. You're not going to eat until – are you doing the show
tomorrow
here, or are you doing
o'clock.
The show –
I'm going to do it from home because okay, I don't want to miss the food truck festival.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So then at 3:15 – you're going to eat
303.
Yeah, 303. You made
over 257.50.
You may do the last segment on the cell phone as you're driving the
food truck. You know, that's a great idea. That okay. is a great idea.
So that's 44 hours without food. Josh,
that's a long time.
Okay, let's go to an independent journalist, Josh Paul Wheeler. Mm-hmm. Yes or no? She's going to do this. You buying this story? Because can I go first?
No. 0.0.
You do not get to do your own sound effects. You have a whole board op over there. He can find sound effects for you. But I think that I can do this.
Thank you.
I think that I will do this because I know that I do not want to get over a certain poundage, and I don't want anybody calling me big back or big belly or anything like that. So I am going
who's
to.
Who's calling you that right now?
Under their breath.
Big belly. No one is calling you. Can I just put you down in my phone as BB now? I mean, was that. what I put you to? How would you react to that if, like, you're there and he's like,
ooh. You would not have a phone. You would not. Your insurance plan would not even kick in with what I would do to that phone. Are you kidding me? You let me see my number come up and it's BB.
BB.
Oh, hell is breaking loose.
I mean, BB could be a lot of things. I mean, big brain, right? I mean,
You better spell out big brain.
no way. I mean, 44. Now, I want people to text me 651-461-9226. The longest time between a bite of food for you.
A bite of food. We're not talking about liquids now because I'm going to be drinking my liquids. I'm drinking my water. I'm drinking my juice. I had coffee this morning. We're not talking about that. But I am going to not eat because I know that I am going to eat calories for 2 days in 2 hours once that food truck festival kicks off.
Food trucks are very good. Okay. And by the way, are you having a smoothie? Like a protein power smoothie.
No,
bananas,
I don't do
raspberries.
The smoothies. No, I don't do the smoothies. Do you do smoothies? I don't like smoothies.
I like smoothies.
You
I
do?
Like them.
Okay.
Yeah, I
okay,
like
I don't.
I actually
don't.
Think downtown we are woefully lacking a healthy smoothie place because a lot of the smoothie options are just loaded with sugar. So you think, hey, I'm having a smoothie. And then you look and they're basically taking
a giant
cup of sugar and pouring it in there. And you're going, wow, that's why this tastes well. I'm trying to think for me.
What's been the longest you've ever gone without food?
36
hours? Non-surgery related. Because when you do your little colonoscopy, I need to do that again.
By the way, I'm.
What are you waiting on?
I don't know. I was fine the first time, but I have no excuse. None. Zero. Zilch. Before this year is done, I 100% will have a probe up my butt. Okay.
Okay. Can I get a heads up, because I want to make sure that you get this done and that it does not fall through the cracks,
yes.
sir.
Pun. Yes, pun. Was that a pun intended?
Yes. Always.
Always. Always. For the colonoscopy, I went like 36 hours or so. I don't know. You know, I have a number of our guy, Jim Peterson. Okay. Jim Pete. Mm-hmm. He will cleanse. I don't know if he's cleansing. He's actually, we were chatting for a long time the other day. He sends his best. He's lost like 20 pounds. He's been doing the Peloton. He's been doing the flexibility stuff. I'll see how amazing he looks tomorrow. We're gonna be together in the afternoon. Okay,
where y'all going? Without me? I'm sorry, back up.
Well, once you didn't arrive here in studio, I had the invite and I just took it and I tore it up.
Mm-hmm.
I tore
Whatever.
It up. It's right here. Yeah.
Whatever.
Right.
But you know, he's got to stand next to Leah B. Olsen.
Leah B. Olsen
is always looking good. She's always fit. She's always fine. So you cannot stand next to Leah B. Olsen and be all pudgy.
No.
You have to keep yourself together. So I'm sure he's looking at the video, studying, practicing, trying to make sure he does better next time. And, and he doesn't want to be standing next to Leah B. Olsen looking like any old dude off the street. He is always bringing it, always looking good.
I've been friends with Leah for 35 years. Did you just call Jim Peterson pudgy, by the way? Could you say?
No, I said he doesn't want to stand by her looking pudgy, which is why he lost the 20 pounds. And first
so he was
of all,
pudgy before.
Cannot,
okay, I got it. He was previously pudgy.
Messy. And number two, you cannot be friends with Leah B. Olsen for 35 years because she doesn't look like she's over 35 years old. The woman does not age. It's not fair to the rest of us.
It's unfair.
It's really not fair.
She
does not look a day over 34, and that is, like Steve Thompson was like, yeah, I've known Leah for 34 years. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Y'all met when y'all were 1 year old? How do you know Leah for 34 years? She is just the baddest chick in the game in the Twin Cities.
I think I have one of those clown mirrors because sometimes I'm getting ready and I look in the mirror and I think, tolerable, not bad, I mean, and the hair, when the hair's wet, it seems mainly brown. I'm thinking, gray hair, who's got gray hair? Not me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see a picture and it's like, why did they take a picture of the dead human being? What?
Oh, that's me.
Yeah, that's me. Okay. Wait, longest for you without food, is this going to be it? 44 hours?
This is going to be it. I think the longest I went without food one time was like 24 or so. But it's, again, that was surgery related, right?
They
tell you can't eat, you can't drink, and do all this stuff.
Yeah.
So that was under doctor's order. So this will be the longest time. I'll let y'all know if I make it. I'll probably be cranky, during my show. I'll probably be like attacking all the guests. Now, what's up with this puppy fashion show you're doing?
Yes, going after the children behind a puppet fashion show. Please, for the love of God, do that. I will listen if you're screaming. It's Billy. Come on. What's going on? Okay, text me the longest, the most frequent times you've criticized a puppet show. No, the longest for you without a bite of food. 651-461-9226 on CCO. Texter suggests they fasted 12 days. Another texter, if she doesn't eat for that long, her stomach will shrink and she won't be able to eat very much when she gets there. Now, I think other people have said that it sounds good. Now, my oldest boy does that at times, too. He, Hunter, who's an excellent chef. At times, he'll go almost the entire day, doesn't eat, and then we'll make one of his great meals and then eat a lot for dinner. But that's, 16, 18 hours. You're going 44. There is a lot of talk about if you fast the right way. You read these stories how people do something like 5 and 2, right?
Where
5 of the days they do this, and that those 2 days, it's a completely different approach. I want to get my butt in a little better shape myself.
Yeah.
I just enjoy the eating process too much.
I love good food.
Oh, man.
I just love good food. I just love, you know, good, tasty food. I like trying new foods. And I'm telling you, I don't know. Did the food truck craze or phase get started like, what, 5, 6 years ago? Because I was trying to tell my dad when he was visiting once. I said, come on, they're having a food truck festival. And he said, I'm not going to these roach coaches. And he was sharing with me that, you know, back in the day when he was, you know, working in construction and driving a forklift, the trucks would come and they would, you know, call them roach coaches. And they were just like the nastiest little trucks. And now they're serving gourmet waffles and all kinds of fun stuff on these trucks. And so it was just a different vibe for him. And it was something new. And I was trying to, in my mind, figure out, like, when did the food truck phase get started?
Oh,
I just remember, like,
further back.
5, 6.
Oh, it's even long. I think outside the state, longer than that. But I would say I start here 09. I got to say 11, 12. There used to be, excuse me, a lot of food trucks down here. We still have some food trucks downtown. They don't come to the kind of the central core where the station is. You'll see some on the mall. You'll see more towards U.S. Bank Stadium. And what you really see, you see them at events all throughout the area, like a grad party, a wedding, or something going on. Because if you go to the websites and punch in food trucks, they are still all over the place.
Yes.
We have not talked about Andrew in a while. How is school going for Andrew, and are you giving him any level of space?
Okay, so I don't know if you know this, but there's a video on my Instagram account where Andrew was driving off to go to college. And, you know, I had planned to try not to cry before he turned the corner. You know, I said, I'm not going to cry until he drives off that I can't see the car anymore. He got to the mailbox, right? And I'm wailing. And so I posted on social media, and I didn't even realize it. 800+ thousand hits.
Oh, geez.
People saying, if my mother does not cry like that for me when I get ready to go to college, I don't want it. I'm now the mother of Instagram, apparently.
Oh,
and so, but somebody did notice that a couple of things. Andrew never looked back. Yeah, he never looked back.
When you escape, you normally don't. When you escape, when you finally see freedom, normally you don't say goodbye. You know, I don't know if you've witnessed this before.
So, number one, he didn't look back. Number two, they said he didn't wave. I've watched the video of a couple of times now. I've also noticed that trend. They said, number three, he didn't blow. He didn't toot-toot the horn as he was driving off. And number four, this is the one that got me, was he sped up when I started crying.
Yes.
Yeah, he didn't.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, if you've waited for this moment, for the last, I don't know, I think you probably tricked him the first 3 years of his life, but the last 15 years, you've been bringing him to place after place after place after place. You made him wear like 5 hazmat suits when he was working at a fast food store where he couldn't work the drive-thru because it sounded like this.
Because he had a face mask and a shield on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you went to his prom. You've done all these things. So, no. No, he's not going to look back.
He's not going to look back. He's not going to toot the horn. He's not going to wave. And he's going to speed up. Okay, so those are the 4 things that the internet noticed in the video. And
he probably drove 100. I mean, I know where you live now. You're about 6 minutes to the highway. I bet he drove 100 miles an hour once he was on 94.
And here's the funny part as well. is that someone said, who's the pacer car in front of him? I bet Andrew will be glad when that guy gets out of the way. I'm like, that's his daddy taking him to college. It's not a pacer car. It's about, who's the dude in the way? Andrew's trying to go 165 right now. Who's the slow guy? And I was like, that's his dad. And so I was going to surprise him last Saturday. We had a babysitter, and we were supposed to go to Dr. Quint Lester. I don't know if y'all told you about him. African-American dentist, moved here from Tennessee, graduated from Meharry Medical College, just opened up the Hilltop Dental in Maplewood. We have 1% of black dentists in the Twin Cities. And so he is a black dentist, and so he was having an open house, so we were going to go over there and support him. And so we had a babysitter. And I told Sean, I said, listen, instead of going over here to support Dr. Lester at his new dental practice, let's surprise Andrew and go to St. Cloud State.
Please, for the love of God, you didn't.
Sean talked me down.
Thank you.
He talked me down. I was going. But Andrew's not, he's not responding the way I would like. Like when I text and call him at 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 o'clock in the morning, I don't hear back from him. I repeat that on the p.m. hours as well. And so one of my friends, Kate Bendel over at Channel 5, said to get a specific time once a week. It's a proof of life, she calls it. So that you can see him on the Zoom. So every Sunday at 4 p.m., we do a little Zoom, and we check in, we say hi, and his siblings say hi, and parents say hi, and, you know, we just make sure he's doing okay. But and I don't know if I should have done this. I hope this was okay. I emailed all his teachers. Can I do that?
No, you cannot.
Okay,
this
well, it's
is college.
Done. It's already done.
He's an adult.
And I asked them if they wanted copies of his children's book. They all said yes.
God.
And then one of the teachers,
his
wife
to Sydney, Australia. I mean, my God, he finally gets away. You're sending the book.
I just mailed the children's book to all of his college professors, and then one of them, his wife is a fan. So he connected me to his wife, so we've been chatting back and forth by email. That was the wrong thing to do?
Yes, that's the wrong thing to do. That is the wrong thing to do. You have enough friends.
I didn't ride up to the school, okay? I didn't bust up in the room and knock on the door, okay? Can I get some credit for something?
No, you don't get credit for doing the worst thing possible, okay? I mean, no. Hey, Josh, good driving today. Didn't run anybody over. Hey, great job. I mean, no, you don't get that.
As an alum, as the 2022 class of St. Cloud State, I have to warn all of my fellow former teachers and personnel up there of this happening.
Yes.
Let us come.
You know, people love me, and all his teachers now love me. Their relatives are fans, and you know, and
does he know this? Does Andrew know this yet?
I have not told him. I was going to tell him Sunday. Don't tell him.
Don't tell him, and stop right now. Stop. Just stop. You know,
that is friendly. That is just hey, connecting. I didn't ask for a report. I didn't ask anybody.
You will.
I didn't ask anybody.
Now that you've made the connection. That's the long game. I know what you're doing here. I've watched this game many times before. I have to go. Freedom, Andrew. Sydney sounds really good. Head over there. Shaletta tomorrow noon on CCO. Jeff Mytrot is an excellent reporter on a number of issues for the Star Tribune. He and multiple reporters looking at charter schools and a story and a couple stories. Well worth your time. Jeff, always a pleasure. Jeff, like Shaletta Major on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Jeff, what is the easiest way, do you think, to capture for folks who might be confused about what is a charter school and what is not a charter school? How would you summarize them?
That's a great question. You know, a lot of people think charter schools are private schools, and some of them really operate that way or they act like that because, you know, they have sort of special populations. They might be mostly special education students. They might be mostly Somali students. They might be mostly Native American students. And so that often makes people think that they're private schools when, in fact, they're public schools are supported by tax dollars just like traditional public schools are. But they get about 70% of the funding, and they are under much less oversight and operate with a much freer hand than the traditional schools do.
Okay, so
the biggest difference is the people who run these schools, they don't have to have any education licenses whatsoever. And one of the schools that we've written about recently is being run by a guy who used to be a janitor.
Okay. Does he have any background in education at all?
He doesn't even have a four-year college degree.
Okay. So that's how easy it is to set up a school and say it's a charter school.
That's right.
That is rather stunning. Okay, on the oversight, okay, do the schools want it in any way? Is the state requiring it? Is it tied to funding in any way? Because I think people ask those questions also.
Well, the biggest, I think, problem with our charter schools isn't that it's just a bad idea. It's that the state has abdicated its role of supervising these schools and handed that to 12 separate entities, mostly nonprofits, a few educational groups like St. Thomas University, a couple of public school districts. Some of them are doing a great job. Most of them are not. Some are doing a terrible job and have allowed schools where almost nobody's learning anything to stay open for years and years and years, even though they're supposed to terminate their charter if they are not meeting their goals, if they're not doing a good job of educating these kids.
But regarding terminating their charter, there must be nothing binding them, because some of these schools where the scoring, to be honest, is disastrous, they continue to exist, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we wrote a story, you know, in the run-up to the series about a school in Minneapolis called Minnesota Internship Center, where they had 4% of the kids were even showing up for class. Their attendance rate was 4%. None of the kids were proficient in math. So, and they've been around forever. So how does a school like that stay open? It's because the authorizers aren't doing their jobs. The authorizers are turning a blind eye to these abysmal failures and just renewing their charters year after year after year. The state, the only job the Minnesota Department of Education has is overseeing the overseers. They, every 5 years or so, will write a report on how are the authorizers doing. And invariably, even if they give them terrible grades, the authorizers are allowed to continue. Of the 50-plus groups that have acted like authorizers in the 30-plus years that we've had charter schools, only one of them ever had their ability to operate as an authorizer terminated by the state. Mm. And that one, they ran two of the best charter schools in Minnesota. They weren't kicked out because they were doing a bad job. They got kicked out because their paperwork wasn't up to snuff.
That's where they drew the line. That's when they said enough is enough. Not kids aren't showing, 96% of the kids aren't showing, not the test scores, not a lack of oversight, but you forgot to duplicate a form, and that's when the charter school was told you're done?
Well, that's just inexcusable. Yeah. I mean, we can't allow that.
Unbelievable. Honestly, again, Jeff Mitrott is with us. You can tell he's great. He's a great writer. Again, we're talking about 13 to 203 charters have consistently exceeded the state average in math and reading. 13 of the 203 have consistently have done this. I talk about this frequently. I have a son who is on the spectrum. He has finished his school, and you pointed out in your first answer. There are schools that deal in special ed. There are schools where English is a second or third language. So when some people want to try to justify some of the scoring as low as it is because they're taking unique kids in who face different challenges that some of the other mainstream kids have, does that hold up?
Well, that's why we wrote the story about Rhode Island. And anybody who looks at the demographics of Rhode Island would have to admit this is a state that looks a lot like North Minneapolis. This is a state full of poor people, full of people of color, full of special populations that would seem to usually bring down test scores. And what did we find is that Rhode Island did better than any other state in the country at running their charter schools, because instead of having a bunch of authorizers do it, the state does it. And their standards are very high. They've imposed a moratorium on charter school growth so that they don't have, you know, schools popping up all the time just because somebody got a harebrained idea for a new school. They have to go through some very rigorous vetting to even open a charter school there. And only one of them is closed in their history. None of them have closed for financial reasons. And most of those kids are going on to college. And these are kids who have all the challenges that our most challenged students face, and they're kicking butt out there. And it was really inspiring. My partner, Mara Klecker, went out there for a week and hung around. I think she was at 10 or 12 of these schools. And she just came back just knocked out by what she saw happening in those classrooms and how different the vibe was from the charter school classrooms here in Minnesota.
This is Jeff.
Too many of them.
Yeah, this is Jeff Mitroff from the Minnesota Star Tribune. You're hearing troubling data from an excellent communicator. He and Mara have written this up, multiple stories. Check it out, Minnesota Star Tribune. So let's talk about the politics of this. The Republicans will often say that Democrats, because they get so much money for the teachers' unions, that they don't want to vary from public schools. Republicans will often say, how much money is enough? Then Democrats will say to Republicans, well, you just want private schools. You want private schools, and you want to separate the kids who don't have enough money for those private schools. And then a lot of Republicans might come back and say, vouchers, let's give kids an opportunity. What is likely, because you know this has happened many, many times, when your paper, your writing included, has spotlighted a major issue, and then all of a sudden a governor or legislators get involved. Because you and others have written about charter schools before, is it your sense that this might stimulate it again? Or because we're sitting here in September and the legislature is pretty far away from now, that's unlikely to happen?
Well, I've worked in places, Illinois, Louisiana, where we could do a project like this and nothing would change. The thing I love about working in Minnesota, we got pretty good public officials here. I know you don't hear that a lot, at least from people in the press. You know, there's always a lot of bashing about whoever the local polls are. But you know, I'm very impressed with how responsive government is here. They get embarrassed by when Minnesota's not doing things well. And they, in response to many of the investigations I've done, they have passed new laws to fix problems that we've highlighted. And it's happened almost every time we've gone out on whether this things I've worked on, many other reporters at the paper. We all have had this sort of very happy experience. And so I would expect there to be some reform coming out of this. You're right, the politics of it are dicey. Republicans we've heard in the state are generally more pro-charter school. Democrats are more anti. You know, the teachers' union, which is, you know, generally more left, is a sort of anti-charter schools. They want a moratorium on any new charter schools. And teachers, you know, traditional districts see these schools as a threat, an existential threat, you know, because it's kind of a lose-lose game right now where, you know, the charters aren't doing well enough to survive and are closing, but they're stealing students from the traditional districts, and that's hurting them too. So it's something that you would think the state would want to get right, so that maybe, you know, all the sick cows can get well.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, I'm optimistic. And like I said, if we were somewhere else, I probably wouldn't be.
Well, I'll let you go on this, Jeff. If the legislature and the governor, who knows, that could be Governor Walz, it could be new Governor Peggy Flanagan, and we don't know the makeup. Will the Democrats have the trifecta? Will the Republicans at least have one level of the legislature? If they could only step in one or two areas, where they could only agree in one or two areas, and it would give these schools, which are floundering, a better chance, where should they step in?
I mean, what's the most important reform? What's the thing the state's got to get right first?
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, a lot of people would point to funding, but I'll point out the Rhode Island schools get the same level of funding our schools do, so I don't think that's it. I think the fundamental difference is holding these schools accountable for student performance. And the one thing the Minnesota Department of Education is not doing right now is factoring in student performance when they grade the authorizers. If you change nothing else, for God's sakes, let's make student performance a factor. That just seems
yes.
so obvious.
Right.
How do you not make that part of the equation?
And also understand, if you're a special ed directed charter school, there are different standards. But if the idea, as you know better than I, Jeff, we're going to be more creative, we're going to try different things, then don't just put everything with the same level standards. But, hey, I've got a crazy idea. Have standards and have requirements and have follow-up. And as your story points out and this conversation points out, that doesn't exist.
No, the state's gone the other way. In fact, last year, they excused all 8 of the high schools seen by Pillsbury United Communities from any meaningful state oversight whatsoever. They're no longer held to the same state standards that regular traditional public schools are. And Pillsbury is one of the worst authorizers in Minnesota.
Unbelievable. Great reporting, Jeff. I always appreciate you coming on. We'll reach out again. Thanks so much.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Jeff Nytrot, he's the type of journalist we need in America, and we're lucky to have him here at the Minnesota Star Tribune. Uh-oh. Susan K. Jones walking in. Jeff, something to add? Would you like to add to this conversation? You have other news? Where have you been for the 12 o'clock update, the 1 o'clock update? Do you have any treats for Josh and I? All sorts of questions we have.
I came in here because I am the afternoon news editor.
So this is a bit beneath you.
This is a bit beneath me.
Yeah, I understand.
I have brought in my sponsors for the afternoon.
Oh, okay. So in other words, Ari has to do the news update with your paperwork in his area.
Correct.
Even though Ari has a 2 o'clock update.
That's right.
And then you could have waited like when we were in a break and you just came in right during the show.
Because the world revolves around me.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And I know you might actually get mad at me for coming into your studio while you were on the air, but I am not afraid of you.
Like, how many people, Josh, are afraid of Susie in this building? And the correct answer is all of us.
Too many to count on them both.
All of us. I talk tough on the air, but as Susie knows, once the mic's off, what can I do for you?
What can I do
you
for you?
You should see her on Sunday morning.
Can I clean those dishes that you leave in the sink all the time that every one of us says to wash, but not you? I'll get them. Thank you, Susan Kay.
Yes, my darling.
Okay. Did you bring any treats for us, U.S. Bank Stadium?
Oh, you know what? Taylor did, and I said, are you going to get us some in the newsroom? And she said, no, I'm taking them to my boyfriend.
What?
Does she not know that there's a tradition that goes down many, many, many years when you go to the food tasting, whether it be at Target or what the X
what
or the
is
US
happening
Bank Stadium? Yes, she collected food.
Sanctions, punishment, fines. I mean,
however, I made sugar cookies last night because I was desiring something sweet.
A little sugar.
Yeah. And I made them. And I thought, you've got to get these things out of your house. So I brought them. So I put them in little sandwich bags.
Yeah.
And I'll see if one's back. There were two of them, two little bags with three or four.
So in other words, you're telling us about a cookie which may be gone.
It could be. I'm not sure.
Well, I assume Taylor's boyfriend had those too. Anything else? Do we have tickets? How about 100 tickets for Taylor's boyfriend? I mean, hey, Taylor's boyfriend, why don't you make some food yourself?
Yeah, for crying out loud.
52 Pets Want on CCO. That hurts. I have feelings. I'm giving Susie's sugar cookies a 7.5. Wheeler, what do you think? Be
seven.
Honest.
Seven? Seven.
Seven. Okay, yes. Okay. Well, Susie will never talk to you again. Among the texts here on the charter schools, what issue of the Tribune is it in? It's online, MinnesotaStarTribune.com. And normally big stories like this, which they pop up on Fridays, end up in Sunday's paper. A number of people pointing out charter schools where they have dealt with them, and they've had complaints from the start or problems. Somebody saying, what the heck is wrong with being a janitor? There's nothing wrong with being a janitor. There was no like, oh, no one should be a janitor. However, if you're starting a school, I would like you to have a little bit of experience in education. Or I would like you to be from the business community or have some job, including a janitor, where there's some oversight in what you're doing. And maybe the janitor starts the greatest charter school ever and the kids are better for it. Bravo. But some level, in some way, where there's somebody of some sort which sets a level of standards and you reach them, you don't reach them, we know about it. Are there incentives? Do you have punishment? And for Jeff to point out that school after school after school, where only 13 of the 203 on a regular basis pass your math and reading on a regular basis, and the only one that was shut down because they turned in some paperwork late or they signed the wrong form, that's shameful. I am one who says, let's try to do different things in education. I'm also one who had his kids attend public school the entire time. Let's innovate, but let's have some oversight to it. That's an automatic. Matt Caller, next hour. Time to invest in GEF solar roofing and receive 75% off installation. Here she is in studio. It's Shaletta. Let's see. Is she down the hall? Is she arriving?
Nope.
Oh, rather interesting. I was told that last week when the very talented and kind man Chris Eggert filled in, you were right here. You were
Who is the snitch? Did Susie Jones tell you that? Who was snitching that day?
All sorts of people. All sorts of people. So today, I'm back. You know, our partnership.
Hey, welcome.
Yeah, Josh is here. We're all waiting. A lot of times, speaking of treats, you'll bring a treat. Sometimes it's edible. Sometimes it's that that awful sausage you brought in that one time. Oh, my God.
I cannot believe you don't like me, Dan. Everybody in the station enjoyed eating that, except you.
One of us has taste, apparently. Jeez. Are you home right now? Are you at the mansion?
I am at the mansion in Cottage Grove. We've got the big Cottage Grove Food Truck Festival happening tomorrow. So I went over to Kingston Park to just kind of check out the lay of the land and see what trucks are going to be there. So I was doing a little bit of surveillance.
Yeah.
Because this is like a big event for us in Cottage Grove.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what will your role be tomorrow with the Cottage Grove Food Truck Extravaganza?
I am just a hungry resident. Mm-hmm. I don't have any role except to go and spend up a bunch of money and eat as much as I can. So I don't know about you, but when I know that I'm going to go over my calorie limit, I don't eat the day before. So I'll be hungry all day today. I don't know how I'm going to get through the Shaletta show tomorrow because I'll be hungry for the majority of my show. And then as soon as my show is over, I'm running out the door over to Kingston Park across the street, and I'm eating everything in sight.
Okay. So you're proposing that your last meal was last night for dinner and mm-hmm. that you're not going to eat this entire day. You're not going to eat until – are you doing the show
tomorrow
here or are you doing
o'clock.
The show –
I'm going to do it from home because I don't want to miss the food truck festival.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So then at 3:15 – you're going to
eat 303.
Yeah, 303. You made
over 257.50.
You may do the last segment on the cell phone as you're driving the
food truck. You know, that's a great idea. That okay. is a great idea.
So that's 44 hours without food, Josh.
That's a long time.
Okay, let's go to an independent journalist, Josh. Josh Paul Wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no? She's going to do this. Are you buying this story? Because can I go first?
No. 0.0.
You do not get to do your own sound effects. You have a whole board op over there. He can find sound effects for you. But I think that I can do this. I think that I will do this because I know that I do not want to get over a certain a poundage, and I don't want anybody calling me big back or big belly or anything like that. So I am going.
Who's calling you that right now?
Under their breath.
Big belly. No one is calling you. Can I just put you down in my phone as BB now? I mean, was that? What if what I put you to, how would you react to that if, like, you're there and everybody's like,
ooh. You would not have a phone. You would not. Your insurance plan would not even kick in with what I would do to that phone. Are you kidding me? You let me see my number come up and it's BB.
BB.
Oh, hell is breaking loose.
Well,
oh,
I mean,
hell is breaking loose.
I mean, BB could be a lot of things. I mean, big brain, right? I mean,
it's, yeah, sure, you know, sure.
Yeah.
You better spell out big brain.
no way. You're. I mean, 44. Now, I want people to text me 651-461-9226. The longest time between a bite of food for you.
A bite of food. We're not talking about liquids now because I'm going to be drinking my liquids. I'm going to drink my water. I'm drinking my juice. I had coffee this morning. We're not talking about that. But I am going to not eat because I know that I am going to eat calories for 2 days in 2 hours once that food truck festival kicks off.
Food trucks are very good. Okay. And by the way, are you having a smoothie? Like a protein power smoothie.
No,
bananas,
I don't do
raspberries.
The smoothies. No, I don't do the smoothies. Do you do smoothies? I don't like smoothies.
I like smoothies.
You
I
do?
Like them.
Okay.
Yeah, I
okay,
like
I don't.
I actually
don't.
Think downtown we are woefully lacking a healthy smoothie place because a lot of the smoothie options are just loaded with sugar. So you think hey, I'm having a smoothie, and then you look, and they're basically taking
a giant
cup of sugar and pouring it in there, and you're going, wow, that's why this tastes well. I'm trying to think for me.
What's been the longest you've ever gone without food?
36
non-surgery
hours?
Related.
Yeah,
non-surgery,
well.
Because when you do your little colonoscopy, you did.
I need to do that again, by the way.
What are you waiting on?
I don't know. I was fine the first time, but I have no excuse. None. Zero. Zilch. Before this year is done, I 100% will have a probe up my butt. Okay.
Okay. Can I get a heads up because I want to make sure that you get this done and that it does not fall through the cracks,
yes.
sir.
Pun. Yeah, pun. Was that a pun intended?
Yes. Always.
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 For the colonoscopy, I went like 36 hours or so. I don't know. You know, I have a number of our guy, Jim Peterson. Okay. Jim Pete. Mm-hmm. He will cleanse. I don't know if he's cleansing. He's actually, we were chatting for a long time the other day. He sends his best. He's lost like 20 pounds. He's been on
he
the
looks amazing. He looks
he's been
amazing.
Doing the Peloton. He's been doing the flexibility stuff. I'll see how amazing he looks tomorrow. We're gonna be together in the afternoon. Okay,
where y'all going? Without me? I'm sorry. Back up.
Well, once you didn't arrive here in studio, I had the invite and I just took it and I tore it up.
Mm-hmm.
I tore
whatever.
It up. It's right here. Yeah.
Whatever. Right. But you know, he's got to stand next to Leah B. Olsen.
Leah looks
B. Olsen
amazing.
Is always looking good. She's
for
always
sure.
fit. She's always fine. So you cannot stand next to Leah B. Olsen and be all pudgy.
No.
You have to keep yourself together. So I'm sure he's looking at the video, studying, practicing, trying to make sure he does better next time. And, and he doesn't want to be standing next to Leah B. Olsen looking like any old dude off the street.
Because
he is always bringing it, always looking good.
I've been friends with Leah for 35 years. Did you just call Jim Peterson pudgy, by the way? Could you say?
No, I said he doesn't want to stand by her looking pudgy, which is why he lost the 20 pounds. And first
so he's
of all,
pudgy before.
You cannot,
okay, I got it. He
no,
was,
no,
he was
no,
previously pudgy.
Messy. And number two, you cannot be friends with Leah B. Olsen for 35 years because she doesn't look like she's over 35 years old. The woman does not age. It's not fair to the rest of us.
It's unfair.
It's really not fair.
She
does not look a day over 34, and that is, like Steve Thompson was like, yeah, I've known Leah for 34 years. I'm like, how, what?
Yeah.
Y'all met when y'all were 1 year old? How do you know Leah for 34 years? She is just the baddest chick in the game in the Twin Cities.
I think I have one of those clown mirrors because sometimes I'm getting ready and I look in the mirror and I think, tolerable, you know, I'm not bad, you know. I mean, and the hair when the hair's wet, it seems mainly brown. I'm thinking, gray hair. Who's got gray hair? Not me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see a picture and it's like, why do they take a picture of the dead human being?
Oh, that's the me.
Yeah, that's me. Okay. Wait, longest for you without food, is this going to be it, 44 hours?
This is going to be it. I think the longest I went without food one time was like 24 or so. But, it's again, that was surgery-related,
yeah,
right? You know,
right.
They tell you can't eat, you can't drink, and do all this stuff.
Yeah.
So that was under doctor's order. So this will be the longest time. I'll let y'all know if I make it. I'll probably be cranky, you know, during my show. I'll probably be like attacking all the guests. Now, what's up with this puppy fashion show you're doing?
Yes, going after the children behind a puppet fashion show. Please, for the love of God, do that. I will listen if you're screaming. It's Billy. Come on. What's going on? Okay, text me the longest, the most frequent times you've criticized a puppet show. No, the longest for you without a bite of food. 651-461-9226 on CCO. Texter suggests they fasted 12 days. Another texter, if she doesn't eat for that long, her stomach will shrink and she won't be able to eat very much when she gets there. Now, I think other people have said that it sounds good. Now, my oldest boy does that at times, too. He, Hunter, who's an excellent chef, at times he'll go almost the entire day, doesn't eat, and then we'll make one of his great meals and then eat a lot for dinner. But that's, you know, 16, 18 hours. You're going 44. There is a lot of talk about if you fast the right way. You read these stories how people do something like 5 and 2, right?
Right.
Where 5 of the days they do this and that those 2 days, it's a completely different approach. I want to get my butt in a little better shape myself.
Yeah.
I just enjoy the eating process too much.
Good food.
Oh, man.
I just love good food. I just love, you know, good, tasty food. I like trying new foods. And I'm telling you, I don't know. Did the food truck craze or phase get started like, what, 5, 6 years ago? Because I was trying to tell my dad when he was visiting once. I said, come on, they're having a food truck festival. And he said, I'm not going to these roach coaches. And he was sharing with me that, you know, back in the day when he was, you know, working in construction and driving a forklift, the trucks would come and they would, you know, call them roach coaches. And they were just like the nastiest little trucks. And now they're serving gourmet waffles and all kinds of fun stuff on these trucks. And so it was just a different vibe for him. And it was something new. And I was trying to, in my mind, figure out, like, when did the food truck phase get started?
Oh,
I just remember, like,
further back.
5, 6.
Oh, it's even long. I think outside the state, longer than that. But I would say I start here 09. I got to say 11, 12. There used to be. Excuse me, a lot of food trucks down here. We still have some food trucks downtown. They don't come to the kind of the central core where the station is. You'll see some on the mall. You'll see more towards U.S. Bank Stadium. And what you really see, you see them at events all throughout the area, like a grad party, a wedding, or something going on. Because if you go to the websites and punch in food trucks, they are still all over the place.
Yes.
We have not talked about Andrew in a while. How is school going for Andrew, and are you giving him any level of space?
Okay, so I don't know if you know this, but there's a video on my Instagram account where Andrew was driving off to go to college. And, you know, I had planned to try not to cry before he turn the corner. You know, I said, I'm not going to cry until he drives off that I can't see the car anymore. He got to the mailbox, right? And I'm wailing. And so I posted on social media, and I didn't even realize it. 800+ thousand hits.
Oh,
people saying, if my mother does not cry like that for me when I get ready to go to college, I don't want it. I'm now the mother of Instagram, apparently.
Oh,
and so, but somebody did notice that a couple of things. Andrew never looked back. Yeah, he never looked back.
When you escape, you normally don't. When you escape, when you finally see freedom, normally you don't say goodbye. You know, I don't know if you've witnessed this before.
So, number one, he didn't look back. Number two, they said he didn't wave. I've watched the video of a couple of times now. I've also noticed that trend. They said number three, he didn't blow. He didn't toot the horn.
No.
As he was driving off. And number four, this is the one that got me, was he sped up when I started crying.
Yes.
Yeah, he didn't.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, if you've waited for this moment for the last, I don't know, I think you probably tricked him the first 3 years of his life, but the last 15 years,
Yeah. You've
been bringing him to place after place after place after place. You made him wear like 5 hazmat suits when he was working at a fast food store where he couldn't work the drive-thru because it sounded like this.
Because he had a face mask and a shield on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you went to his prom. You've done all these things. So, no. No, he's not going to look back.
He's not going to look back. He's not going to toot the horn. He's not going to wave. And he's going to speed up. Okay. So those are the four things that the internet noticed in the video. And
he probably drove 100. I mean, I know where you live now. You're about 6 minutes to the highway. I bet he drove 100 miles an hour once he was on 94.
And here's the funny part as well. Is that someone said, who's the pacer car in front of him? I bet Andrew will be glad when that guy gets out of the way. I'm like, that's his daddy taking him to college.
Yeah.
It's not a pacer car. It's about who's the dude in the way? Andrew's trying to go 165 right now. Who's the slow guy? And I was like, that's his dad. And so I was going to surprise him last Saturday. We had a babysitter, and we were supposed to go to Dr. Quint Lester. I don't know if y'all told you about him. African-American dentist, moved here from Tennessee, graduated from Meharry Medical College, just opened up the Hilltop Dental in Maplewood. We have 1% of black dentists in the Twin Cities. And so he is a black dentist, and so he was having an open house, so we were going to go over there and support him. And so we had a babysitter. And I told Sean, I said, listen, instead of going over here to support Dr. Lester at his new dental practice, let's surprise Andrew and go to St. Cloud State.
Mm-mm. Please, for the love of God, you didn't.
Sean talked me down.
Thank you.
He talked me down. I was going. But Andrew's not, he's not responding the way I would like. Like when
Thank
I text
you.
And call him at 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 o'clock in the morning, I don't hear back from him. I repeat that on the p.m. hours as well. And so one of my friends, Kate Bendel over at Channel 5, said to get a specific time once a week. It's a proof of life, she calls it. So that you can see him on the Zoom. So every Sunday at 4 p.m., we do a little Zoom, and we check in. We say hi, and his siblings say hi, and parents say hi, and, you know, we just make sure he's doing okay. But and I don't know if I should have done this. I hope this was okay. I emailed all his teachers. Can I do that?
No, you cannot.
Okay,
this
well, it's
college.
Done. It's already I'm done.
He's an adult.
And I asked them if they wanted copies of his children's book. They all said yes.
God.
And then one of the teachers,
I hope
connected
he transfers
his wife
to Sydney, Australia. I mean, my God, he finally gets away. You're sending the book.
I just mailed the children's book to all of his college professors, and then one of them, his wife is a fan. So he connected me to his wife. So we've been chatting back and forth by email.
Oh, my
so,
God.
That was the wrong thing to do?
Yes, that's the wrong thing to do. That is the wrong thing to do. You have enough friends.
I didn't ride up to the school, okay? I didn't bust up in the room and knock on the door, okay? Can I get some credit for something?
No, you don't get credit for doing the worst thing possible, okay? I mean, no. Hey, Josh, good driving today. Didn't run anybody over. Hey, great job. I mean, no, you don't get that.
As an alum of the 2022 class of St. Cloud State, I have to warn all of my fellow former teachers and personnel up there of this happening.
Yes.
What is coming?
You know, people love me, and all his teachers now love me. Their relatives are fans, and you know, and
does he know this? Does Andrew know this yet?
I have not told him.
Don't.
I was going to tell him Sunday. Don't tell him.
Don't tell him, and stop right now. Stop. Just stop. You know
that is friendly. That is just hey, connecting. I didn't ask for a report. I didn't ask anybody to
You
speak.
Will.
I didn't ask anybody to.
Now that you've made the connection, That's the long
you
game.
Know me so
I
well.
Know what you're doing here. I've watched this game many times before. I have to go. Freedom, Andrew. Sydney sounds really good. Head over there. Shaletta tomorrow noon on CCO. Jeff Mytrot is an excellent reporter on a number of issues for the Star Tribune. He and multiple reporters looking at charter schools and a story and a couple stories well worth your time. Jeff, always a pleasure. Jeff, like Shaletta Major on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Jeff, what is the easiest way, do you think, to capture for folks who might be confused about what is a charter school and what is not a charter school? How would you summarize them?
That's a great question. You know, a lot of people think charter schools are private schools, and some of them really operate that way or they act like that because, you know, they have sort of special populations. They might be mostly special education students. They might be mostly Somali students. They might be mostly Native American students. And so that often makes people think that they're private schools when, in fact, they're public schools are supported by tax dollars just like traditional public schools are. But they get about 70% of the funding, and they are under much less oversight and operate with a much freer hand than the traditional schools do.
Okay, so
the biggest difference is the people who run these schools, they don't have to have any education licenses whatsoever. And one of the schools that we've written about recently is being run by a guy who used to be a janitor.
Okay. Does he have any background in education at all?
He doesn't even have a four-year college degree.
Okay. So that's how easy it is to set up a school and say it's a charter school.
That's right.
That is rather stunning. Okay, on the oversight, okay, do the schools want it in any way? Is the state requiring it? Is it tied to funding in any way? Because I think people ask those questions also.
Well, the biggest, I think, problem with our charter schools isn't that it's just a bad idea. It's that the state has abdicated its role of supervising these schools and handed that to 12 separate entities, mostly nonprofits, few educational groups like St. Thomas University, a couple of public school districts. Some of them are doing a great job. Most of them are not. Some are doing a terrible job and have allowed schools where almost nobody's learning anything to stay open for years and years and years, even though they're supposed to terminate their charter if they are not meeting their goals, if they're not doing a good job of educating these kids.
But regarding terminating their charter, there must be nothing binding them because some of these schools where the scoring, to be honest, is disastrous, they continue to exist, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we wrote a story, you know, in the run-up to the series about a school in Minneapolis called Minnesota Internship Center where they had 4% of the kids were even showing up for class. Their attendance rate was 4%. None of the kids were proficient in math. So, and they've been around forever. So how does a school like that stay open? It's because the authorizers aren't doing their jobs. The authorizers are turning a blind eye to these abysmal failures and just renewing their charters year after year after year. The state, the only job the Minnesota Department of Education has is overseeing the overseers. They, every 5 years or so, will write a report on how are the authorizers doing. And invariably, even if they give them terrible grades, the authorizers are allowed to continue. Of the 50-plus groups that have acted like authorizers in the 30-plus years that we've had charter schools, only one of them ever had their ability to operate as an authorizer terminated by the state. Mm. And that one, they ran two of the best charter schools in Minnesota. They weren't kicked out because they were doing a bad job. They got kicked out because their paperwork wasn't up to snuff.
That's where they drew the line. That's when they said enough is enough. Not kids aren't showing. 96% of the kids aren't showing. Not the test scores. Not a lack of oversight. But you forgot to duplicate a form, and that's when the charter school was told you're done?
Well, that's just inexcusable. Yeah. I mean, we can't allow that.
Unbelievable. Honestly, again, Jeff Mitrott is with us. You can tell he's great. He's a great writer. Again, we're talking about 13 of the 203 charters have consistently exceeded the state average in math and reading. 13 of the 203 have consistently have done this. I talk about this frequently. I have a son who is on the spectrum. He has finished his school, and you pointed out in your first answer. There are schools that deal in special ed. There are schools where English is a second or third language. So when some people want to try to justify some of the scoring as low as it is because they're taking unique kids in who face different challenges that some of the other mainstream kids have, does that hold up?
Well, that's why we wrote the story about Rhode Island. And anybody who looks at the demographics of Rhode Island would have to admit this is a state that looks a lot like North Minneapolis. This is a state full of poor people, full of people of color, full of special populations that would seem to usually bring down test scores. And what did we find is that Rhode Island did better than any other state in the country at running their charter schools, because instead of having a bunch of authorizers do it, the state does it. And their standards are very high. They've imposed a moratorium on charter school growth so that they don't have, you know, schools popping up all the time just because somebody got a harebrained idea for a new school. They have to go through some very rigorous vetting to even open a charter school there. And only one of them is closed in their history. None of them have closed for financial reasons. And most of those kids are going on to college. And these are kids who have all the challenges that our most challenged students face, and they're kicking butt out there. And it was really inspiring. My partner, Mara Klecker, went out there for a week and hung around. I think she was at 10 or 12 of these schools. And she just came back just knocked out by what she saw happening in those classrooms and how different the vibe was from the charter school classrooms here in Minnesota.
This is Jeff.
Too many of them.
Yeah, this is Jeff Mitrott from the Minnesota Star Tribune. You're hearing troubling data from an excellent communicator. He and Mara have written this up, multiple stories. Check it out, Minnesota Star Tribune. So let's talk about the politics of this. The Republicans will often say that Democrats, because they get so much money for the teachers' unions, that they don't want to vary from public schools. Republicans will often say, how much money is enough? Then Democrats will say to Republicans, well, you just want private schools. You want private schools, and you want to separate the kids who don't have enough money for those private schools. And then a lot of Republicans might come back and say, vouchers, let's give kids an opportunity. What is likely, because you know this has happened many, many times, when your paper, your writing included, has spotlighted a major issue, and then all of a sudden a governor or legislators get involved. Because you and others have written about charter schools before, is it your sense that this might stimulate it again? Or because we're sitting here in September and the legislature is pretty far away from now, that's unlikely to happen?
Well, I've worked in places, Illinois, Louisiana, where we could do a project like this and nothing would change. The thing I love about working in Minnesota, we got pretty good public officials here. I know you don't hear that a lot, at least from people in the press. You know, there's always a lot of bashing about whoever the local polls are. But you know, I'm very impressed with how responsive government is here. They get embarrassed by when Minnesota's not doing things well. And they, in response to many of the investigations I've done, they have passed new laws to fix problems that we've highlighted. And it's happened almost every time we've gone out on whether this things I've worked on, many other reporters at the paper. We all have had this sort of very happy experience. And so I would expect there to be some reform coming out of this. You're right, the politics of it are dicey. Republicans we've heard in the state are generally more pro-charter school. Democrats are more anti. You know, the teachers union, which is, you know, generally more left, is a sort of anti-charter schools. They want a moratorium on any new charter schools. And teachers, you know, the traditional districts see these schools as a threat, an existential threat, you know, because it's kind of a lose-lose game right now where, you know, the charters aren't doing well enough to survive and are closing, but they're stealing students from the traditional districts, and that's hurting them too. So it's something that you would think the state would want to get right, so that maybe, you know, all the sick cows can get well.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, I'm optimistic. And like I said, if we were somewhere else, I probably wouldn't be.
Well, I'll let you go on this, Jeff. If the legislature and the governor, who knows, that could be Governor Walz, it could be new Governor Peggy Flanagan, and we don't know the makeup, will the Democrats have the trifecta? Will the Republicans at least have one level of the legislature? If they could only step in one or two areas, where they could only agree in one or two areas, and it would give these schools, which are floundering, a better chance, where should they step in?
You mean, what's the most important reform? What's the thing the state's got to get right first?
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, a lot of people would point to funding, but I'll point out the Rhode Island schools get the same level of funding our schools do, so I don't think that's it. I think the fundamental difference is holding these schools accountable for student performance. And the one thing the Minnesota Department of Education is not doing right now is factoring in student performance when they grade the authorizers. If you change nothing else, for God's sakes, let's make student performance a factor. That just seems so obvious.
Right.
How do you not make that part of the equation?
And also understand, if you're a special ed directed charter school, there are different standards. But if the idea, as you know better than I, Jeff, we're going to be more creative, we're going to try different things, then don't just put everything with the same level of standards. But, hey, I've got a crazy idea. Have standards and have requirements and have follow-up. And as your story points out and this conversation points out, that doesn't exist.
No, the state's gone the other way. In fact, last year, they excused all eight of the high schools seen by Pillsbury United Communities from any meaningful state oversight whatsoever. They're no longer held to the same state standards that regular traditional public schools are. And Pillsbury is one of the worst authorizers in Minnesota.
Mm. Unbelievable. Great reporting, Jeff. I always appreciate you coming on. We'll reach out again. Thanks so much.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Jeff Mytrot, he's the type of journalist we need in America, and we're lucky to have him here at the Minnesota Star Tribune. Uh-oh. Susan K. Jones walking in. Do you have something to add? Would you like to add to this conversation? Do you have other news? Where have you been for the 12 o'clock update, the 1 o'clock update? Do you have any treats for Josh and I? All sorts of questions we have.
I came in here because I am the afternoon news editor.
So this is a bit beneath you.
This is a bit beneath me.
Yeah, I understand.
I have brought in my sponsors for the afternoon.
Oh, okay. So in other words, Ari has to do the news update with your paperwork in his area.
Correct.
Even though Ari has a 2 o'clock update.
That's right.
And then you could have waited like when we were in a break and you just came in right during the show.
Because the world revolves around me.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And I know you might actually get mad at me for coming into your studio while you were on the air, but I am not afraid of you.
Like, how many people, Josh, are afraid of Susie in this building? And the correct answer is all of us.
Too many to count on both.
All of us. I talk tough on the air, but as Susie knows, what's the mic's off? What can I do for you?
What can I do
you
for you?
You should see her on Sunday morning.
Can I clean those dishes that you leave in the sink all the time that every one of us says to wash, but not you? I'll get them. Thank you, Susan Kay.
Yes, my darling.
Okay. Did you bring any treats for us, U.S. Bank Stadium?
Oh, you know what? Taylor did, and I said, are you going to get us some in the newsroom? And she said, no, I'm taking them to my boyfriend.
What?
Does she not know that there's a tradition that goes down many, many, many years when you go to the food tasting, whether it be at Target or the US Bank Stadium? Yes, she collected food.
Sanctions, punishment, fines. I mean,
however, I made sugar cookies last night because I was desiring something sweet.
A little sugar?
A little sugar. Yeah. And I made them. And I thought, you've got to get these things out of your house. So I brought them. So I will see. I put them in little sandwich bags.
Yeah.
And I'll see if one's back. There were two of them, two little bags with like three or four.
So in other words, you're telling us about a cookie which may be gone.
It could be. I'm not sure.
Well, I assume Taylor's boyfriend had those too. Anything else? Do we have tickets? How about 100 tickets for Taylor's boyfriend? I mean, hey, Taylor's boyfriend, why don't you make some food yourself?
Yeah, for crying out loud.
52 Pets Want on CCO. That hurts. I have feelings. I'm giving Susie's sugar cookies a 7.5. Wheeler, what do you think? Be
seven.
Honest.
Seven? Seven.
Seven. Okay, yes. Okay. Well, Susie will never talk to you again. Among the texts here on the charter schools, what issue of the Tribune is it in? It's online, MinnesotaStarTribune.com. And normally big stories like this, which they pop up on Fridays, end up in Sunday's paper. A number of people pointing out charter schools where they have dealt with them, and they've had complaints from the start or problems. Somebody saying, what the heck is wrong with being a janitor? There's nothing wrong with being a janitor. There was no like, oh, no one should be a janitor. However, if you're starting a school, I would like you to have a little bit of experience in education. Or I would like you to be from the business community or have some job, including a janitor, where there's some oversight in what you're doing. And maybe the janitor starts the greatest charter school ever, and the kids are better for it. Bravo. But some level, in some way, where there's somebody of some sort which sets a level of standards, and you reach them, you don't reach them, we know about it. Are there incentives? Do you have punishment? And for Jeff to point out that school after school after school, where only 13 of the 203 on a regular basis pass your math and reading on a regular basis, and the only one that was shut down because they turned in some paperwork late or they signed the wrong form, that's shameful. I am one who says, let's try to do different things in education. I'm also one who had his kids attend public school the entire time. Let's innovate, but let's have some oversight to it. That's an automatic. Matt Caller, next hour. Time to invest in GEF solar roofing and receive 75% off installation.